You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Afternoon and welcome into the gym class for a Thursday on KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. Jeff Linder of the Gazette will join us coming up a little bit later on in the program. We will preview the state softball tournament, which will get underway on Monday at Harlan Rogers Park in Fort Dodge. We'll talk about that. We'll look back on the 2021-2022 Athletes of the Year for the Gazette and more. We'll do that with Jeff coming up in just a little bit. First round of the Open Championship today. And Big 12 Media Days continuing with Matt Campbell talking today down in Arlington. Love to hear from you today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And you can converse with us on the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well at 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a Thursday edition of the program, I will throw this out as well. Mark, first of all, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you and everyone out there.
Is this the sure sign? You know, Swallows coming back to Capistrano. You have that. Is this the sure sign that summer is in danger of possibly being over? That I get a call from a certain someone about a certain fall/winter sports endeavor that will have its meeting in 2 weeks? Does that mean summer is nearly over?
Bowling Night in America nears, people.
Yeah, we better get figuring out who's on the roster.
It's Hoskins' birthday. I think he sets that as the day he places the calls.
Yes, happy birthday, Mike. And I wish Mike happy birthday today. And if he's listening, which he usually does, we wish you a good one. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks on Wednesday night. 319-366-1600 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. A lot to get to on the program, and we start things off. Of course, we also have a little bit of college basketball news. We'll talk about the Iowa State non-conference schedule now that it's basically been finalized. All of the T's have been crossed, I's have been dotted as far as the Hawkeyes and Duke playing in the Jimmy V Classic with ESPN. We knew that was going to happen, but now the official designation on that has come down the line. But we start with the 150th Open Championship, which got underway with a Paul Laurie tee shot at about just after 12:30 a.m. Iowa time. And Mark, they are still playing in Scotland right now at St. Andrews. As the first round not quite completed as of yet, but good scores today as anticipated at St. Andrews.
Yeah, it stays light till 10 or 11 o'clock over there.
Yes, it does.
And
they don't go off both nines at the Open Championship.
No, play continues. Cameron Young is your leader. He was one of the early tee times. He shot 8 under par, 64. And as is typical a lot of times, Scott, you've got a mixture on the first page of the leaderboard. You've got Young, Rory McIlroy off to a good start at minus 6. He is alone in second. My pick, Cameron Smith.
Yeah, that's your pick, man.
Minus 5. But then you have an amateur named Barclay Brown in a group at minus 4. The ageless Lee Westwood at minus 4. Brad Kennedy, a foreigner up there at minus 4 as well. But a lot of interesting storylines. Dustin Johnson, who I didn't think would contend in this, he's at minus 4. He shot 68 alongside Scottie Scheffler. But everyone wants to know about Tiger Woods, right?
Well, for the moment anyway. For the moment anyway. He is playing his 18th hole as we speak. And it is not did not start off on the right foot for Tiger. And it has not gone well for Tiger. And a lot of speculation swirling right now about exactly how tomorrow is going to go and how that is going to be presented by Tiger. He is 6 over par right now, which puts him...
He's beating 7 players in the field of 156.
At 146.
Yeah.
Right now. And is it low 60 in ties?
Low 70 in
low
ties.
Low 70 in ties.
Yes.
Okay. So right now, that would put the cut at even. And to answer 6936 in the text line, how is Zach doing? Zach is at even. Shot even par 72 today. Not a bad first round for Zach.
Nope. 5 birdies, 5 bogeys for Zach.
He was all over the map as far as the scores are concerned.
He was, but he birdied 3 out of his last 5 holes, including the road hole 17 and 18. Everybody's birdieing 18.
Driving but, 18, basically.
Got it back to even par and an okay position. He is right there at even with the likes of Phil Mickelson, who bristled at LIV questions after his round. You got to answer him, Phil. I'm sorry. Colin Morikawa also at 72, along with Justin Thomas. Other scores of note, Brooks Koepka in at 73. Bryson DeChambeau and Xavier Schauffele at 69. Again, it's the top 70 and ties after play tomorrow.
Tiger is parred 18. He is done. He missed a. He hit it into the Valley of Sin off the tee. Had about 12, 15 feet for his birdie. Missed that and settled for a par. So that is where he stands after one round. Realistically, Mark, and the forecast for tomorrow, they're expecting maybe a little bit of light rain, but the wind is not going to pick up. It's not going to be much different than it is today. Tiger's best option would be to have just horrific weather tomorrow, and he shoots something like 69-70. To be realistic now, he's probably going to have to shoot something like 65, 66, and hopefully everybody doesn't go real low with him. I mean, that's to make the cut in all likelihood.
I'm here to say Tiger is toast. He's never going to win another tournament. He can't possibly win another tournament when he's only playing 3 or 4 a year. He confessed in his pre-tournament news conference that it's that lack of rust or lack of competitive juices that flow from week to week or month to month. He doesn't have that. And his game is out of sorts. Now, can he regain it for 1 week? I suppose he could.
But in a major, it's going to be tough.
He's toast.
He's going to be tough. The short game right now is not good. Putting has not been good today. This is the one that is really going to hurt. Because this is the one he had circled in the comeback. 150th at St. Andrews, knowing what he could do with his body, took the U.S. Open off to get ready for St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
One last go at the Open Championship at St. Andrews, more than likely. Flat. Things could go right. He knows the course. Thought he had a shot. I said yesterday, I thought he'd get maybe a top 25. But I think we've come to the realization, and that's what kind of is swirling around right now as far as the golf world is concerned. Is tomorrow going to be a victory lap for Tiger? Is he going to do the... You know, the bridge photo op at the Swilkin Bridge on the 18th. What is it, 5 years till the next Open at St. Andrews?
That is correct.
Okay, so what, 2027 it'll be back?
Tiger will be 51 at that time.
And almost...
Or 50. His birthday's in December.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, around Christmas time. So is this going to be it for Tiger? A lot of questions swirling about. And it's a bad day. We've all had bad days, no doubt about that. But like you said, it is so, so, so hard to play 3-4 times a year, play against the best in the world. Not only that, on the tour, but these are the best of the best in major tournaments. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see. I don't envision Tiger just trying to make cuts. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Could be a very historic day. It could not be.
I don't mean to be harsh to Tiger and saying he's toast, but I don't think he's going to win again. His body has broken down multiple times. He cannot play 15, 16, 17 tournaments a year, at least at this point. He's 46. He's going to be a 46 or 7 in December. He can lend a lot to the PGA Tour and to golf without winning another golf tournament. He's had a marvelous career. What he said about the LIV Tour in his news conference was profound, I thought. And more of that Tiger will still benefit golf and the PGA Tour. But I can't play a handful of times a year and beat you, let alone anybody that's really good. And you are really good.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Yeah, Rory today. 81-86. How about Rory's tee shot that broke a guy's hand? Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It was a little wayward shot today. A PGA Tour staffer was hit by a Rory tee shot. And, did some damage. Did some damage. He also, it was Charlie Kane, by the way. He had a Rory drive that hit his knuckle on his left hand and broke it. And that was on number 5 today. He hit a stone as well, one of the stones on the golf course. So Rory had a very interesting day today. The PGA staffer is just fine, by the way.
69-36 on the text line in reference to Phil Mickelson, I believe. Why do people think that athletes have to answer certain questions? I feel like we need to be okay with a no comment, and then if you want, you can speculate about it.
Because it's 2022, and we have to know everything, and we have a 365-day, 24/7 news cycle.
Phil had a choice not to talk or to issue a no comment. My career, I've dealt with athletes who issued a no comment. Everything from Ronnie Harmon at the Rose Bowl to high school athletes. They have that option. No question about it.
Very true.
But Phil decided to answer some questions, and he bristled at some of them, which is also his prerogative.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. A lot of very, very good scores today, though, at St. Andrews. And right now, 54 of the 100, around almost a third of the field is under par at the old course today. The LIV Tour guys did pretty well today, by
extremely the way. Large group at one under, about 20 players at one under. So it's going to be quite a race to the finish line tomorrow.
This thing is not done. certainly not done. Your pick did well. Zach, as you mentioned, even par today. I have not even looked to see where my guy is. Oh, there he is at even par. See, Shane Lowry's right there positioning himself for the weekend. My pick.
Having a pint as we speak.
I think there's a pretty good bet that he's having a pint. One way or the other, he was going to have a pint. No doubt about that. I didn't see Brian's pick. How did Will do today?
Plus one?
Okay. Plus one down there. 319-366-1600 is we get a little golf talk in on the program here today as we come up on 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Also today, as we shift gears a little bit and move things on as far as college football, Big 12 Media Days continuing today down in Arlington, Texas. And Matt Campbell, not with a whole lot of earth-shattering things to say today. He did say that his team is healthy going into fall camp, 100% healthy going into camp. And as people have said, and one of them being Chris Williams of Cyclone Fanatic, Matt, very open and very truthful about injuries when talking about his team. And other than that, not a whole lot really coming out of Arlington dealing with Matt Campbell today.
No, not particularly. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with college football. It is brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. When do you start to get excited for the arrival of college football? We give you 5 choices.
Is one of them when Mike calls about the bowling meeting?
Could be. That's a good indication. But not one of the choices. First day of summer, the 100 days out mark, arrival of media days, sometime in August, or 24/7, 365.
Interesting question. When do you get excited for football?
August.
Yeah, I'm going to say August as well. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking about it. Picked up a couple magazines this week just to do a little research, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a lot of summer left to go.
Don't you know those are outdated?
Yeah, it really is, because Charlie Jones does not play for the Iowa Hawkeyes anymore. did notice that right away. Very much noticed that. 319-366-1600. Congratulations to all of the area baseball teams that made it to the 3A and 4A state baseball tournament, which will start up at Duane Banks Field on Monday. The tournament pairings are out now. If you want to check that out at the Iowa High School Athletic Association website. And among those, Prairie beat Kennedy in a dandy extra inning game last night, and Liberty with the upset of the night, as the Bolts make their first ever appearance at the state baseball tournament for Coach Kronk and his staff. Good job by them.
Yeah, beating the defending state champion, Pleasant Valley.
They did.
Yeah.
They did indeed, and got a very, very good win last night. As we mentioned, Prairie City High also will be going. And Independence knocking off Xavier last night. Marion's run as the 3A state champion came to an end to a really talented Davenport Assumption team.
Bad draw.
Last night. That was a bad draw. That was a bad draw, but you got to beat them at some point. That's what everyone would say, correct?
Yeah, you do, and so much of it comes down to pitching, and this is where you really make your hay in the postseason is with pitching. And we'll see what happens next week. We're going to talk to KJ Pelcher tomorrow.
Yep.
About the state baseball tournament, among other things.
Yep, we'll talk softball today. Jeff Linder of the Gazette's going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Should talk a little bit before we get to you, Mark, with an Emil Sideway scoreboard update. Iowa State putting out their non-conference basketball schedule. That coming down the line here very, very recently. And not a whole bunch of, a very good tournament that Iowa State is going to play in, as I try to find that quickly here on the Twitter machine and come up empty. But that's kind of the way it goes, right? I had it. Computer goes,
and then it goes down the drain here. If you have it, Mark, go ahead and there it is. I got it right here. We got it back. All right. Starting off November 7th against IUPUI at home.
Also home games then against North Carolina A&T and the school formerly known as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, now just Milwaukee. Iowa State's big non-conference soiree will be at the Phil Knight Invitational, which will be three games, the 24th, the 25th, and the 27th of November. And very good field out there that Iowa State will encounter. The Big 12 Big East battle, Iowa State will host St. John's on December 4th. They'll follow that with a trip to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes in the annual Cy-Hawk game. Then three games to close out the non-conference season, McNeese State, Western Michigan, and Omaha, formerly known as the University of Nebraska, Omaha. And then, of course, the Big 12 SEC Challenge, which comes up in the latter portion of the month of January. Iowa State goes to Mizzou Arena to take on the Missouri Tigers. And that will be January 28th.
Yeah, that Phil Knight Invitational in Portland is going to be something. You got North Carolina, Oregon, among others. A lot of heavyweights out there.
I think Alabama's there
as
well.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good, good test for TJ Otzelberger and the Cyclones. So, very good one. Very good one. As far as that is concerned, that is the men's non-conference schedule. As far as Iowa State is concerned, Iowa State women will have in their non-conference schedule, they will be at Drake, and that will be a very interesting game. The Cyclones will open the season against Southern University at home. That'll be on Thursday, November the 7th. Then the game right after that, second game of the year, will be in Des Moines against the Drake Bulldogs. Texas Southern at home. Iowa State going on the road to Fargo to take on North Dakota State, the Lady Bison, on Friday, November the 22nd. Arkansas Pine Bluff, New Orleans. The Big 12 SEC Challenge, Iowa State will be at Alabama on Thursday, December the 5th. The game with Iowa on Wednesday, December the 11th, which is going to be a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. So good stuff right there. 319-366-1600. Well, check. You know what? Forget all I said all that because it's not right. I was looking at a former schedule. I thought they came out with it. So take the last 90 seconds out of this. Ben, take the last 90 seconds out of this podcast, all right? All right, thank you. Why do they do that? Why do they put it right down below it? That's my bad, Mark. Bail me out.
I was about to make a comment about the Lady Bison. At least they don't call them the Bisonettes.
True. Very true. Iowa will play Iowa State, though. I do know that, in women's basketball. That will happen, and it will be a great game.
In the appropriate time, we'll bring you the actual schedule.
Right. When it's not attached to something else. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program at 328. With that in mind, I want to throw it to you, Mark, and get everyone ready for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. That is right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. They're open at 4 o'clock. Eat local. Try their burgers and fries made fresh daily. Or wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. Bring the whole family for friendly service in the dining area or on the patio. Inside or outside. Either one. Emil's Hideaway at emilshideaway.com.
Two games going on in Major League Baseball this afternoon. Pittsburgh and Miami are in extra innings. Pittsburgh has taken a 2-1 lead over Miami in the 11th inning. In the third inning, Colorado leading San Diego 3-2. Everything else tonight, including the Sox at the Twins. I don't know why I put it that way, but I did. Mentioned the Open Championship. Zach Johnson will play his second round at 7:37 a.m. Central Time. That's 1:37 St. Andrews time tomorrow. And finally, Christian Encarnacion Strand has finally earned his promotion to AA Wichita. Bad news for the Colonels, good news for Christian. He hit .296, 20 homers, 68 RBI in 74 games. Well deserved.
Well deserved indeed. And we wish him the best at Wichita. And you hate to see somebody leave your local team, but by God, he's done everything he can do here in Cedar Rapids.
It's what it's all about.
Yeah. And so hopefully he'll do the same at the AA level. And great job by Keegan Murray last night, Mark. 29 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 assists.
Against Chet Holmgren and his team, I didn't put it on the scoreboard because it's almost redundant. Murray's averaging 24 points a game in Las Vegas.
Getting it done.
Absolutely.
Getting it done. No doubt about that. All right, we're going to take a break. Jeff Linder of the Gazette will join us, and we will preview the state softball tournament, talk about the Gazette Athletes of the Year, and more when we return after this on the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have partly cloudy skies today with temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Humidity will be increasing as we head into the afternoon. Clouds will be increasing as we head into tonight, and showers and thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Rain will continue into Friday morning, winding down by the afternoon hours. It is going to be warm and humid on Friday with temperatures in the mid 80s, and then the hot, humid conditions continue through the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the whole desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Presenting the world's worst combos. Using a chainsaw while blindfolded.
Hey, watch out!
Performing surgery while roller skating.
Whoa! Oh!
And being high while driving.
Because if you feel different, you drive different.
Drive high, get an OWI. This ad brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Is there any more satisfying feeling than letting an elevator door close on somebody? I did it at the hotel earlier. I got such a warm rush through my body. It felt like the inside of my body hugged the outside of my body, you know? And then you see it close and you're like, sometimes a second later it opens and you're like,
from Netflix, comedian Tom Segura brings I'm Coming Everywhere World Tour to McGrath Amphitheater July 26th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
We are back with you on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class, 334 for this Thursday here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Following us, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock this evening. Text line available, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. 1600 as we get ready to talk about next week's state softball tournament. Five classes at Rogers Sports Complex over in Fort Dodge. And our friend Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette's joining us. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. And do yourself a favor and give him a follow on Twitter as well. As summer wrapping up, you got everything packed, ready to go for your week in Fort Dodge?
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close.
You got a lot of things to do prior to that, right?
Yeah, got a little bit of work to do, but a little bit of family work, a little bit of work, and I'll get done.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
Also getting done is the Athletes of the Year, Jeff, and you guys did a marvelous job once again. And, you know, it was tighter on the boys' side with four individuals getting first-place votes as opposed to the girls. But all in all, I think most people agree that you got it right.
Yeah, I think so. I think we usually do. You know, we had 13 people voting, and everybody votes a little bit different way, you know, whether they vote for kind of the multi-sport athlete, which I think most of us do, or, you know, single sport excellence, which is certainly a, you know, a good thing as well. But, yeah, I think we got it right. And, boy, got to give our photographers credit and our layout people credit. And they all did a really good job and put out a really nice product.
Very good final fives in both. Starting off with on the girls' side, Macy Daufelt from West Liberty, the winner. Going to go play volleyball at Drake, but just a tremendous athlete. If you had a chance to take and watch her in any of the sports that she excelled in, whether it was track, was terrific in that. Of course, volleyball. But I think the most interesting thing was basketball, because West Liberty had a very, very interesting season, a good season, but they didn't have the numbers, and it was just it was a really, really fun story.
Yeah, it really was. They had played most of the season with six or seven kids on the roster in grades 9 through 12. So, yeah, that was a fun story. We chronicled that a little bit throughout the season. And, yeah, for what they had, they had a really fine year.
You know, looking back through the history of 40 years of winners, I don't recall many, if any, Jeff, who are going to be favored as heavily as Ben Keeter is next year.
Yeah, he's a special one. But, you know, there's some other good ones out there, too. Aiden McDermott from Cedar Rapids Xavier, I'm sure he would like a say in this. And I'm sure there's some other ones as well. And, you know, somebody's always going to crop up from somebody, you know, from somewhere that you didn't expect. But, yeah, Ben Keeter's a very good one, and I think it's safe to say right now he's the odds-on favorite for 2023.
Yeah, and another one from North Lynn on the boys' side, and another Hilmer as Austin joins his brother as a Gazette Athlete of the Year and set the state steals record just, I think, shortly thereafter. And still going as far as his career, he'll be at Carroll with the state baseball tournament next week.
Yeah, really fine athlete. We know what he did in basketball. He's a great baseball player, really, really good football player, decent track kid. And it was a good class of boys. I don't think it was quite as deep as the girls' class this year, but you know, there were some really good people that good guys that we considered. Wyatt Volker was one of those guys from West Delaware. And certainly there were others as well.
Jeff, before we get into the pairings and the various classes of the state softball tournament, I wondered if you'd opine about the heartbreaking stories, those that just fell short.
Oh, there were a lot of those. Bend Community gave up 5 in the 7th inning to lose 7-6 to Norwalk in their regional final. West Delaware, what a story that would have been. They opened the postseason with 6 wins. Got 2 more, and they were leading Dubuque Wallert late, and that got away from them. Clear Creek Amana lost a 10-inning game to Burlington in a regional final. I'm sure there's others, but those 3 regional final games really stand out to me.
Yeah, as tough as those were, some on the other side of things. And I think you start off with one of those with here in town, the Linn-Mar Lions. They are the sixth seed at the 5A softball championships. Had to make the two-hour trip over to Central Iowa. And like you chronicled, quite frankly, the MVC hasn't had a ton of success against CIML teams as of late. But Linn-Mar came through.
They did. And, you know, you always want to play that regional final at home. But I talked to Lindsay Murray today, and she said, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun to go on the road. And that makes for a fun trip home when you do win. And I'll tell you, Linn-Mar's good. They're really good. I don't know if they're underrated, overrated, or what, but they're 36-4. They went 28-2 in the MVC. That's a good team.
What do you think about the rest of the 5A field, Jeff?
Well, you know, Fort Dodge is the defending champ. They're ranked number one. They've probably got the best player in 5A in the Adams girl. A lot of CIML flavor. A lot of teams that beat each other up all year. And it's really kind of hard to, you know, to rank those teams, whether it's Fort Dodge, Waukee, Valley, Southeast Polk, Northwest, whoever. They're all going to be good. You know, Muscatine's got a really nice team. They've only lost four games this year. Pleasant Valley, maybe not quite as good as they've been recently, but still they made it. And that's worth something, obviously. And then you got Linn-Mar. And, you know, like I said before, that's a good team. And overlook them at your own risk.
What does Linn-Mar face in Waukee Northwest Monday afternoon?
Well, to be honest, I haven't looked that far ahead. I've kind of been focusing on our area teams. I haven't looked at the opponents yet. Let me take a look here. Let me waste a couple seconds while I'm looking at quick stats at Northwest. See if I can find some stats on them.
That's all right. I had Iowa State women's basketball schedules from 2 years ago, a little bit ago, so it's fine.
I think Iowa State's coming to Iowa on the 7th of December.
Yes, so we know that one.
Out publicly, but, I think that's what's going to happen there. So,
and that'll be fun.
Varsity Bound, where are you here? Keep talking and I'll find it, guys.
Well, as far as Linn-Mar is concerned,
yeah,
I mean, that is a team that is a lot of fun to watch. They don't hit home runs necessarily.
No, they don't.
But they do all the little things, and they're a very, very good fundamental group. And
and something I'm kind of working on, kind of let the cat out of the bag here. They've got an all-senior infield, and that's worth something. I mean, you've got kids that have been there before and have played together for a long time. That helps. Their pitching is good in Jordan Beck, just that experience. And I think when Anna Streff came back this year after spending the last 3 years playing club only, I think that really gave them a little bit more wow factor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a good team that they can hit from top to bottom, and they've got some speed. And I just think, I think it's a team capable of doing some damage out there.
Very true. Very true.
Might have some downtime Monday late afternoon with no area teams in 4A, Jeff.
No, no. I kind of thought Clear Creek would get through. Burlington, was a formidable foe and was able to hold them, scoreless for 10 innings. So obviously they played some good defense and had some good pitching. Like I said, Benton Community was right on the brink, and just couldn't quite close it out.
Couldn't quite get the winner's set a pretty prohibitive favorite, though, in 4A.
4A is kind of like 5A. All those suburban teams have kind of taken over the top of the charts in 4A. You know, with winner's set, ADM, Carlisle, Bondurant. Bondurant didn't make it, but
DCG in there.
You know, the Raccoon River and the Little Hawkeye Conference, that's kind of where it's at for 4A softball now.
Top five seeds in 4A are all basically, you could say, Des Moines suburban towns.
Yeah, yeah. And those schools are growing, and those programs are growing with them. And, you know, I think it's kind of the same thing that we're seeing in with the big schools in just about every sport, that suburban Des Moines is, that's where it's at.
It would be fun to see a Mount Vernon-Williamsburg championship game in 3A, but a whole lot needs to be done before that happens.
Yeah, it really does. And Assumption is going to be a big hurdle for both of those teams, I would think. Certainly possible. Two really good teams. I saw Williamsburg on Tuesday, and they were terrific. They do everything well. They've got great pitching, and they hit the ball.
They do, and they a lot of town spirit too.
yeah,
that was cool.
Nothing wrong with that. I was getting ready to interview a couple of kids, and they said, "Hang on, we're gonna hop on the fire truck. We're gonna go drive around town." So, that's great. They had a lot of people there. I think some people brought their vehicles there, and they put their chairs up against the fence probably mid afternoon. And hey, nothing wrong with that.
I love how those small towns hang under those traditions, Jeff.
Yeah, I've said it forever, and it doesn't matter the sport, but there's nothing like a small school regional final.
Yeah, although Williamsburg's not quite as small as it used to
be.
No.
I guess I'd say 3A, well, maybe even 4A on down. The smaller towns really, they really follow.
True. Mount Vernon gets Wallert in the first round. Of course, Mount Vernon, we know what they have, just with Bentley and everybody down the line.
Yeah.
Good story with Wallert, though, going from two wins to the state tournament.
Yeah, 2-30 to, 23-16, and doing that in the MVC. So, and they're doing it with a lot of young kids, a lot of eighth graders. That's a program on the rise, and better watch out for the Golden Eagles for the next 3 or 4 years.
Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us. We preview state softball here at 3:40, coming up on 3:47. Looking at Class 2A, it seems like Regina's got their spot. They seem to be there every year. Wilton in there from Eastern Iowa as well. Central Springs, the number one seed as far as 2A. What's that look like?
Some pretty good teams. I would say 2A might be the weakest of the five divisions. Central Springs has been number one from wire to wire. Really good team. They were, I think they were third last year. So kind of the heir apparent, especially with Northland dipping down to 1A. Regina, the record's not great, but it's usually a team that gets to state with 10 or more losses and is a handful once they get there.
And 1A, similar to my 3A comment, be a whole lot of fun to see an all-Linn County final in 1A, Northland and Lisbon, but some obstacles are in the path, Jeff.
Yeah, I think Lisbon and Northland, or Northland and Lisbon, or however you want to slice it, there are probably, very possibly, the two best teams in 1A. I've seen them both on two or three occasions, and really impressed with both teams. They both have great pitching. They both have some pop in their lineup and some speed. Lisbon was very, very fortunate to win the regional semifinal game against Springville, and they came back and played a lot better in the regional final and took Clarksville out. I saw Northland in the regional final against Central City. Central City's had a fine year at 34-8, but Northland was able to get it done against a familiar team, and I think those two teams are, I don't know if I'd say they're destined to meet in the finals, but I think they're both certainly capable.
And there's Newell Fonda again. It doesn't matter what sport.
No, it really doesn't, and it's a great program, kind of like Northland, just good at everything, they're the defending 1A champs, and they're not going to yield quietly.
No. And talking about Northland, and just year in and year out, I mean, the names change. You think, okay, the sisters leave. Then, okay, you got two more that come in to replace them as youngsters.
they leave, and you think, oh, Northland's going to drop a little bit. And lo and behold, here comes some more people. They do things so well up there.
Well, it starts with the youth programs. I know they start young. Regardless of sport, they start at 8, 9 years old, and that puts them ahead of everybody. And I think they've got some good youth coaches up there, and that makes a big difference. If you're playing, X number of games per season for X number of seasons, then, that just puts you ahead of the curve.
Jeff, what'd you think of the Metro this year? We know Linmar is in the state tournament. A couple others fell just a step or two short. Great to see Washington win a game. Any kid to go through that, but hopefully they can get some more next year. What are your thoughts on the Metro?
Pretty good year. Kennedy lost the second of their good pitchers in Jamie Sheck, and they've got a couple of good ones now. They've got a good eighth grader, Lily Knudsen. They had a couple really good bats in and Addy Albert, Keaton Gerber, some of those kids. They had a fine team. Prairie was good with kids like Jensen Jones and Alexis Barden. I thought Jefferson might be a little bit better than they turned out to be, about a 500 team. I think they're still kind of rising a little bit. We talked about Linmar, Wash, even before they won a couple games, you could tell that they were quite a bit better. They had quite a bit to go, but they did make a lot of improvement this year. And they gave Linmar a heck of a scare in that regional semi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marion had a fine team. Am I leaving anybody out? Xavier was good. They had a couple of really, really nice runs. I think they had a 12-game win streak. Mid-season, they tailed off a little bit, but then they played well in the postseason again. So, I would say it was a good year in the Metro. It wasn't a super year, but it was, I'd give it a B.
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Not too bad anyway. And, of course, you got this, and then a little bit of time off. Get ready for the fall volleyball. You do cover football as well, and it's not going to be long till Friday nights are going to be here.
No, but they've got that mandatory week off. I think I'm going to take two or three.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, just to rest a little bit, recharge, and all that. But it'll be here soon. Just looking ahead to volleyball, I would say that we're probably going to have three preseason number ones in the area.
Wow.
I think Liberty's probably going to be the team to beat in 5A. I think Marion might be number one in 4A, and I would say I'm fairly certain it'll be Mount Vernon in 3A.
Yeah, three good volleyball programs right there. Liberty becoming a very, very good program, no doubt about that. And then you'll get I know you're looking forward to college basketball with Iowa and Iowa State, and probably both going to be in the preseason top tens.
Yeah, I would think so. And Iowa State comes to Iowa City this year, and then a week before that, North Carolina State comes to Carver, and those are going to be a couple of really good games. I'm waiting to see how the rest of that non-conference season pans out, but there's going to be some good teams coming to Carver, and they're on paper they should be very, very good. Are they a Final Four team? We'll see. I think it's, certainly an Elite Eight, Sweet 16 team, but we thought so last year too.
Yeah. One question here for you from the text line, and I think it's a very interesting one. 6936 asking you if you have seen an attendance droppage, if you will, due to having to buy tickets online.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That really is a good question. I don't think so. I think there are ways around it. I mean, for maybe older people like me who aren't quite as savvy with that. I mean, the grandparents, I think the parents probably buy for the grandparents and stuff like that. I don't think so, but, I don't have the numbers. That is a good question, and I'll tell you what, I'll ask about that at the state tournament when I bump into Jason or somebody like that.
All right, sounds good. We're not old, by the way, Jeff.
No, we're not. We feel young, don't we?
Yeah. I can buy them online, but I'd rather not.
I'll tell you, if it was me, I'd prefer to just pay cash at the gate. But we've gone away from that, and you know, that's where we are.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, have fun at Fort Dodge. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Jeff Lender of the Gazette joining us here. Before we get to a break, traffic alert right now. Slow traffic northbound I-380 north of North Liberty's exits. Thanks, Ann, for that. Very slow traffic. Again, northbound 380 north of the North Liberty exits. Quick break. Come back. Wrap things up after this on KGYM.
Refresh your home's exterior and enjoy it all summer with Menards' huge selection of concrete landscape blocks. There's no limit to what you can create, from patios, retaining walls, fire pits, and more. Visit your local Menards or Menards.com to get a free estimate today. Save 11% on everything for your next project now at Menards. Good through July 17th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Drunk driving is one of America's most often committed and deadliest crimes. Each year, nearly 10,000 people die on the road due to drunk driving. In order to stop this deadly epidemic, cops are cracking down. Police officers are aggressively looking for drunk drivers and will arrest anyone caught driving drunk. They'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Back to wrap things up here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Again, that traffic northbound 380 just north of the North Liberty exits. Slow going right there. KJ Pilcher will join us coming up tomorrow. Again, Zach Johnson, even par 72 today in the first round of the Open Championship at St. Andrews. American Cameron Young, your leader, an 8-under 64 today. Yeah, he's got a two-shot lead over Rory McIlroy, who was the pre-tournament favorite going in. Not a good day for Tiger Woods. 6 over par, 78 today. And he'll try it again, like all of them will, tomorrow. They're just getting the last groups in. So there you go. Good poll question again, Mark, at kgymradio.com. And people can take a look at that, as that is on our website. Again, that is at kgymradio.com. It's brought to you by Steve Anderson and Hawkeye Title and Settlement. You got it?
I do indeed. When do you start to get excited for the arrival of college football? The first day of summer? The 100 days out mark? Arrival of media days? Sometime in August? Or 24/7, 365?
Or when you get the call about bowling meeting, or when you buy your first magazine.
Collided yesterday for you, right?
Yeah, there you go. They almost collided, almost in the same day. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night, everybody. And again, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Stop buying tickets without rewards and start getting more from the only ticketing company that rewards you for buying: Vivid Seats.